Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray that this podcast will help you on that journey.
I want to share some about this amazing person, Jesus, that we've been talking about, especially for the last few weeks, but we always talk about him. But on this day especially, you know, when my wife and I got married over 3 decades ago now, thank you, Lord. And, some of those 30-plus years that we've been married, there are a few days that are highlights. You guys probably know what I'm talking about. And 5 in particular, we had the birth of 5 sons at different times. We didn't have any twins, so they were just... In a period of 7.5 years, we had 5. And each of those days are so special, I can remember them. There's nothing like a newborn. There's nothing like a brand new life coming out of the womb that you've been praying for. You've been watching the stomach get bigger. The movement on the inside as they're doing gymnastics in there. All the things going on and you're praying, you're anticipating. You're praying for a name, you're praying for health. And then when that moment comes and this baby comes into the world, it is spectacular. Another human being. And for us, my wife and I, half her and half me, which is another miracle. Just amazing to me how God does all that as he blends together and makes brand new life. There's something really holy, sacred about the birth of a child. Those moments. There's emotion, amazement and wonder. Meeting this person that never existed before. It's pretty incredible, given as a gift to us. And in this season, we're remembering and celebrating the answers to prayer of many people for hundreds and even thousands of years. The coming of the prophesied child from a virgin. The gift to all humanity. The birth of God's one and only Son that the Father had waited for thousands of years to send to us. And we'd been waiting. Humanity had been waiting for thousands of years for him to come. We're remembering and celebrating the birth of Jesus today. He came in the most humble way. We're celebrating a miracle, supernatural event, and the expression of love from God for us to save us, every one of us. You know, 600 years before Jesus was born, the Lord had spoken to King Ahaz and said this. He said, "Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel," meaning God with us. That's in Isaiah 7:14. God will come and be with us. Then he will be in us because of this Jesus. And then Isaiah the prophet, later in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light." Walking in darkness for thousands of years, and all of a sudden, there's a great light. "Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. For a child will be born to us." Skipping to verse 6 and 7 here. "A son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." They're going to name a baby all of this. Not just your ordinary baby. Not that there is an ordinary baby, I guess. But this one is super extraordinary. He's Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There'll be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. So much of that peace happens on the inside of a person that he brings. "On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore." Jesus came to change everything. And some of the first words spoken over Jesus after his birth were that he would be a great light, that he would lead out of darkness and he would shine the light on us. Words echoing in the darkness, speaking of a change, of a hope, of something different than what they had had before. And those who valued the words of the prophecy prayed and waited, prayed and waited, prayed and waited, generation to generation, hundreds of years into centuries, into 1,000 years and more. But at the right time, here on the earth, when the Romans were dominating the world with cruelty, thousands of years after Adam and Eve had sinned, long after God had saved Noah and his family from the flood, in 28 generations after King David had slain Goliath, in a simple home in Nazareth, a young teenage descendant of King David who was engaged, and by the way, the engagements of this time were about 1 year, when a man, Jewish man, would ask a woman to marry him, and they became engaged. If she said yes, he went away to work on a house, typically, for 1 year before he came back to get her. And so this was in that season. She was engaged to this man, Joseph, not married yet. My guess is that she was probably in the room of her parents' house when something amazing and full of awe happened to her. We'll read this in Luke chapter 1. Now in the sixth month, speaking of Elizabeth, her relative's pregnancy, her almost elderly relative, Elizabeth's pregnancy, which is another miracle, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. If you remember when we read the book of Daniel, there was a certain angel that showed up to speak to Daniel. His name happened to be Gabriel. But when that happened to Daniel, he basically fell on his face and could hardly move and felt like a dead man for several days. It took him several days to recover from one experience with this angel Gabriel. Same angel shows up in Mary's room. And coming in to her room, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold," verse 31, "you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." In Hebrew, it's Yeshua, which means salvation. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." He's going to be the Son of God. "And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." The house of Jacob means Israel. "He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." No end to his kingdom. It just keeps growing and growing and growing forever. And as we learn in the book of Hebrews, it's an unshakable kingdom. Nothing can shake it. Every other kingdom will be shaken except for the kingdom of heaven, which Jesus is the king of. Verse 34, Mary said to the angel, she responded to him, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" I mean, you're saying these amazing things. I just don't understand how this is going to work. It's a great question. The angel answered and said to her, something incredible here. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." This speaks of the glory of the Lord. You know, the same word that's used here was the same word used when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, was transfigured before Peter and James and John, and the cloud, the glory cloud, showed up. That same word is used right here. So there was the cloud of the presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit there, overshadowing her, caught up in the glory cloud with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit brings the seed of Jesus and places God in her womb. Incredible. "And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month." Verse 37, great one to underline in your Bible, commit to memory, and to say often, for nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. Not one thing is impossible with God. How about that? Thank you, Lord. Gabriel saying this, verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord. What an amazing response from the heart of this teenage girl. Behold, I'm your bondslave. I don't understand how this is going to work, but I believe you, and may it be done. May it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. You know, God is the God of hope. He's the God of hope. If we've lost hope, then we aren't looking in the right place. Because he's the God of hope. Nothing's impossible. Keep our eyes on him. He can change anything. He can do anything. Hidden within a people that God chose for himself, called the Jewish people, who the devil really hates to this day and is trying to destroy them still. God had a plan to preserve life, to reveal truth, to bring salvation, light, and to redeem all of mankind. God chose Abraham and his lineage through Isaac, Jacob, Boaz, Rahab, David, to be the natural line of carriers of the law and the scriptures and the prophecies that would come in the future. But also, he chose them for this woman named Mary to be the womb for the Messiah. Mary and her womb would receive and then carry and raise the Son of God, who is the antidote for all darkness, disease, sin, and lies. The greatest gift ever given to humanity was packaged in a teenage girl. The Son of God, the Savior of the world. And much like that song these kids just sung, one of my favorites, Mary, Did You Know? Mary carried and then raised the Son of God, the Messiah. The child she kissed, the sleeping child she was holding, was the great I Am. God doesn't do things like we think, or like we think should be done. He has always done and is always doing the impossible. God seems to love doing things that are impossible. And he does them in ways no one would expect. I think we have a few more coming, by the way, that we would not expect. No one expected a teenager from Nazareth would carry the Messiah. God wins battles that shouldn't be won. He chooses people like you and I who don't qualify. He chooses times that are inconvenient. And when the odds are completely stacked against him, these are the kind of things he does. He's going to win. He's going to do something. He's going to bring life right at the right time. So several months later, after this experience that Mary has with the angel Gabriel, let's read in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to read all these verses. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. So this was a very inconvenient time to make a trip. She was days away from giving birth. If you look on a map, Nazareth is about 80 or 90 miles away from Bethlehem. For the ladies in here who have been 9 months pregnant, do you ever think about walking 90 miles with no bed to sleep on, going about 10 miles a day, perhaps, sleeping on rocks and dirt? You know, you have to go to the bathroom about every 20 minutes. You know how that works? That's just how it works. It's inconvenient. There is nothing convenient about taking a 90-mile walk. There are bandits along the way. I don't know if she's riding on a donkey or walking. Either way, it is tough. Guessing 9 or 10 days to get there. But while all this uncomfortability is going on, God is working a plan from thousands of years earlier, and he slips in the King of Heaven into Bethlehem, carried by a teenage girl who's pregnant. And Bethlehem is special. It's not the only the place that births kings like David. This is where King David grew up. But shepherds and special sheep. King David was a shepherd. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. So it's the birthplace of this shepherd as well. But Bethlehem was also known for something else at the time. Shepherds watching over unblemished sheep. Bethlehem means house of bread. Remember one of the things that Jesus said of himself? I am the bread that came down out of heaven to give life to the world. So the bread of heaven was birthed in the town called House of Bread. And it was there in Bethlehem for about 1,000 years that the town was known for raising sheep. Not just any sheep, but the perfect sheep for the sacrifice in the temple 6 miles away every Passover. At the Passover, they would go to Bethlehem and bring the perfect, unspotted lambs for the sacrifice. It was the birthplace of the perfect lambs. And this is the place where Mary is with Joseph, carrying the perfect lamb inside of her. After hundreds of thousands of lambs had been raised, sacrificed there over 1,000 years, into the stable entered Mary, and then she birthed the perfect Lamb of God. And that became one of his titles. Remember when John the Baptist first saw Jesus at the river, his first words came out of him were, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." There he is. There's the one that was birthed in Bethlehem, the perfect lamb. Verse 6, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. They just barely made it, basically. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, or basically a feeding trough, which is also symbolic. The bread from heaven who will give life to the world and feed the world was born in a feeding trough or placed in a feeding trough. Everything means something. Everything about Jesus is fulfilling prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. Because there was no room for them in the inn. Another problem. You know, if it was me, I'd be very frustrated at this point. If I was Joseph, you got to go at the wrong time. You get your wife to Bethlehem. When you get there, there's no place to stay. You have to stay in a place where the animals sleep. The animals are frustration mounting on top of frustration. My guess is, like me, you have had those type of frustrations. Feels like everything's falling apart. Things aren't working out. The places you're going to stay, the car breaks down. I mean, just like constant things. Well, this is their situation. And in the midst of that, God is working his perfect plan. God is working his perfect plan to get Jesus into a manger. That's exactly where he was supposed to be. Oftentimes, I think for our lives too, the things that are inconveniences and that are really difficult, God is working his perfect plan for us, through us, and often for someone else in the midst of those things. This is just a picture of this happens in all of our lives in some ways. Sometimes, you know, the law says you've got to go to the DMV and do something with your car or whatever, and you're standing in that line for a long time. Inconvenient, you don't want to be there. It's taking a long time or whatever, and God probably is working that very moment for you to be standing next to someone that needs him desperately, needs life, needs an encouraging word. God is getting us into different places to be at the perfect time to be right where he wants us to be to help other people. if we're paying attention. A lot of times we miss it. I do. A lot of times we miss it. But if we will, instead of letting the frustration rise, just go, okay, this is where I am. I can't change this. I'm here. So God, what do you want me to do? Or what do, I'm looking with eyes, looking for what you are doing. And I want to participate with you in what you are doing in this moment. This is no surprise to you that I'm here right now. Whatever it is. God uses everything to his advantage if we're paying attention. In fact, that's a scripture. Causing all things to work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purposes. Romans 8. He's using everything, all the frustration things, all the things that are difficult, all of the hassles. He's working everything together for your good and his purposes. Verse 8, in the same region, there were some shepherds. Now remember, he's in Bethlehem, just been born. And these are the shepherds watching over, raising, protecting, perfect sheep for future sacrifice. In the same region, there are some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel, maybe Gabriel again, perhaps another one, of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I guess it is Gabriel. He says this often. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people, for every person. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. I think they're probably going to know right where that is. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. For God so loved the world, he gave his son. He pleased with men, but came to save us out of love, not because looking to crush or hurt or harm. But he's pleased with us. He's wanting us to be saved. And boy, does God know how to throw a birthday party. But the only ones invited to this one are shepherds. Strangers. The Lord invites only strangers to the birthday party of his son. How about that one? But special strangers, shepherds. He invites, you know, the pastor only appears one time in the Bible. You realize that? In the book of Ephesians. But the word shepherd is really what is talking about that. And so basically, these are pastors of sheep. Shepherds of sheep that the Lord invites to gather around and to see the Lamb of God lying in a manger. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told by them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, Yeshua, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Boy, that was a part of the trip that we were just on in Israel that this passage just jumped out at me. We stood at the southern gate of Jerusalem. And the steps are still there where Mary and Joseph would have carried Jesus right up these steps. And right, they've covered, they blocked the wall now. But there was an entrance there where they walked right through there to the temple to dedicate him. Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Verse 25, and there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The name Simeon means to be heard. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, that he would see the Messiah himself. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, he took him into his arms. Here's another stranger that is moved by the Spirit to be in the right place at the right time. And Mary and Joseph allow, you know, not every mom's going to allow their brand new baby, 8 days old, to be held by a stranger. Something pretty special about this guy. He is filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure she could see that as he came into the Spirit in the temple. So he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace. My life is fulfilled at this point. I can move on. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." It was prophesied by Isaiah that Jesus, and to Ahaz, that Jesus would be the light of the world. And here, Simeon holds him in his arms, says, "A light of revelation. I'm holding the light of the world in my arms." Simeon is saying, "The glory of your people, Israel."